You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes.
Wonder what you would think of this. Is I had a hygienist that was definitely getting burnt out. She's been in for 20 some years, and I basically just moved her to the front desk 3 to 4 days a week, kept her the same salary for hygiene. And while that might be way over the top for, you know, admin stuff, but to me she's like such an advocate, because I don't have to train anybody to do any type of how to do front desk, how to sell treatment, whatever it is. Cause she's like, oh yeah, I can talk about a crown all day long. I can talk about, you know, if you want full uppers, we'll talk about that. Whatever it may be, she can do it, which is great. While that may not metrically add up salary wise, it's still far better that way, right?
So, okay. So this is a huge treat for me, cause I get to hang out with both of you, and I could see this being a whole series whenever we can get Picasso on here. You know what I mean? So he parked his jet outside of his house, or what are you flying now? Helicopter. I have so many questions for this episode. Like, number one, how do I get on your daily text chain? Cause I know you talk to Ritter like 7 times a day, Pat Lillis 7 times a day. Kevin, take a look at your phone. How many texts did you get from Bob today? I got goose egg, buddy. Goose egg tape. Now, the other one is like, I know you throw your P&L around too. Like, you have it on your phone and you just text it to people and go, that's how you run a practice. I want to know how I can get on that text chain. And then lastly, like, I think we should just throw restorative questions at you regularly and then just let you answer them. And then we have to do a whole series on math. You know what I mean? Because you can size up anyone's practice math-wise in a few minutes. One day, no, this is a true story, Kevin. So one day I'm like getting texts. It was one of the rare days that I get texts from Bob Marr just regularly. And he goes, hey, did a crown today, 22 minutes, beautiful. And I wanted to forward the text to a dentist that I'm trying to coach. It takes 3 hours to do a crown. You know, I don't know what you're charging, but you can't charge enough when it takes 3 hours to do a crown. Would you agree?
Yes.
So, all right. So Kevin, yesterday you and I were talking, was it yesterday or the day before? I can't remember.
Yesterday. Yeah,
okay. Tuesday. So we're just going to get Bob Marges on. No, I'm going to tell you, if you're listening to the podcast or you're watching it, there's no prep. We're just rolling here. That's because I love these guys. And Kevin's like, you know what? Okay, listen, why don't we get Bob on a show? And I'm going to ask him some questions. Because he's taken your composite course and it's changing his life. Do you mind if we just put you, we'll call this composite hot seat. I don't care. So Kevin, you're going to be the host. I'm just going to be the Ed McMahon. Correct.
Sure.
How's it? So Kevin, take it away. What are we going to talk about today?
I mean, I was thinking we could talk about composite course, but Bob, do you have any other ideas or no?
No, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, we can talk about anything from composites to implants to profitability to hygiene.
Okay. Before we do that, I always love the why before the how. So, Kevin, you and I, we're huge fans of Marjois, you know, and we know he's like the best dentist that's ever lived. So you're taking his course. I want people that are listening, Why would you want to take Bob Marge's course now? What's the why behind your motivation to take it? And then somehow twist your dinner that you guys had a few weeks ago in Detroit, because I feel bad. I'm having huge FOMO about that. So,
yeah, no, I signed up with Bob's course with Marcos, was it probably 3 months ago now? And I just think the world of both of the technical abilities of both of them. And if you can learn from their skill set, what better experts could you have for that stuff? So for me, I'm glued in. You know, I'll watch it when I do the dishes. I'll watch it when I'm driving to work. Hopefully my wife didn't hear that. But to me, it's just something that I listen to these guys nonstop, and then I apply it to my daily practice. And that's the coolest thing, is when you have experts out there that are talking about these things, and then they're saying, I do this in my private practice, and I did it yesterday, I did it the day before, whatever it is, here are the tips I can come up with. Here are the pitfalls that you may get into. Here's some material selections that I would offer. I don't think there's one course out there that has been so applicable to my day-to-day basis than this composite course. So bravo to Bob and Marcos, because I've learned so much that I can just go on and on and on about what I've learned.
Okay, so I'm going to be like the chiming in here. So I want to talk about composites and why they're so important now, because education has changed. These materials are getting better. And I quote you guys like all day long. So I was telling a dentist yesterday and the day before, we should have a tooth preservation fee. Do you know what I mean? Like, it used to be the old days where you would just prep down all these virgin teeth to make money in a dental office. And now you could make the case, you don't need to prep these teeth. You could actually charge the same, probably add in a tooth preservation fee. And with what you teach, Bob, and composites, you can make it look as beautiful, if not more beautiful, right?
Yeah, you really can. I mean, all it does is take practice. And I will say that the Composite Mastery Online course, I am the Ed McMahon of that show, believe it or not. Marcos is the main guy. And so he's Johnny Carson. I'm Ed McMahon. But I don't mind taking a backseat to him, because I think he's one of the best educators in dentistry. The beauty of that course is there's just no secrets. I mean, we've been doing it long enough. It's not like we need the money. So we just show it like it is, good, bad, or indifferent, and stuff that you can applicably put in your office immediately. So it's been really fun to do the course. We enjoy it. And the webinars, the monthly live webinars where patients present cases, those things go 4 hours, and we're not even stopping when we're doing it. It just seems like it flies by so fast.
That's crazy. Now, I have a bunch of questions. What do most dentists get wrong about composites? So you do 4 hours, you're teaching them. What's like the number one thing they get wrong or they don't think right about composites?
I think preparation design is one. How to place the composite on the tooth. Contouring, finishing and contouring is probably something that I see when I'm doing the hands-on courses, where, you know, they can't get the shape right. They don't see what the tooth should look like. So you could get the shade perfectly right, but it's that final little finishing and polishing. It's almost like your three-card Monty, showing how to create the surface texture and the anatomy, and that can make your restoration look good. Because if you get the shape right, it trumps color. And what I mean by that is, let's say the shade's a half a shade off. You can get by with that. But if the shape is wrong and the color's right, it will never look right.
And Kevin, you taking the course.
Yeah, that contouring 10-step protocol that you guys brought up changed my life. I mean, literally all of a sudden it became something where it was step by step by step how to do a single tooth or multiple teeth. That, you know, to me, it's just start with the incisal edge and go all the way from there. And you'll be in the middle of the step 3 or 4 and you'll be like, oh, this doesn't look that good. And then by the time you get to 7 or 8, you're like, wow, I did that. That's sweet. So, I mean, bravo to that. And it was so easy to follow, and just something that, I don't know, I can't sing enough praise for that. So really has changed everything for me.
And you got to tell us about the dinner a couple of weeks ago. So I know I'm kind of getting off track here, but I was having major FOMO, because sure, when you go to dinner with Bob Marges, it's not dinner. Do you know what I mean? It's like a whole experience. He starts with a couple stories and then you try to order wine. He goes, no, we're not ordering the cheap stuff tonight. We're actually going to order like nice wine. Actually, the wine at this restaurant is not very good. I actually brought my own wine and the corking fee. I already know, like, you know how this goes. It turns into like a 4-hour fiesta.
You know what? Here's the sad part. The sad part is he picked up the check.
I heard about this. He went to the bathroom and pulled the credit card thing on you.
Dude, you don't do that with I've been doing this for a lot of years. All I wanted to do was to be able to go to the Detroit Athletic Club. You say, hey, I can make that happen. Yeah. And we got together with your associates, two associates and their wives and my wife, and it was phenomenal. Yet he picked up the tab.
You know what the thing is, though, Bob, and this is a good lesson for anybody that's young, to be able to sit next to somebody of your caliber, and I've had many of these dinners with people over the course of time, and what would you pay for a conference fee? You know, $5,000, $2,000, $1,000? A dinner that you can have one-on-one dialogue with somebody is far more valuable than any type of conference you can go through.
For sure.
So to me, it's just like, why wouldn't I pick up that check? Because the things I learned that night were far more impressive than anything I could ever pick up. And that's where it's an invaluable number there.
Totally agree. And then next time, Kevin, you got to try this. That is the huge value. The extra value is when you almost get kicked out sitting next to somebody like that, because now, you know, when the owner of the restaurant comes over like three times and goes, sir, this is the last time, you know, and then, you know, you're really having fun.
And we closed the place down. Actually, Bob, my wife and I are having a baby, and I think it happened that night, so we're going to name it Bob Marge's Grove.
That is frightening.
I told my hygienist, you know, if she named her baby Robert Constantine after we had paid for the college tuition. She said,
yeah. I didn't know your middle name was Constantine.
Constantine, man.
Tell us the story on that one.
Well, you know, my brother and I were premature. We were 2 months premature in 61. I have a twin brother. And my mom didn't know she was having twins. So when we were born, we were named after our paternal and maternal grandfather. And so when my mom, when they brought us in, that was his name, Constantine. And when they brought us in to my mom, they go, here's your two twin boys. And she goes, this is Bob and George. And she goes, Bob and George. She goes, I didn't know I was having twins. I wanted to name them Peter and Paul.
Oh my gosh, that is hilarious.
We got baptized. We really got baptized within 2 hours when we were born, because they didn't think we were going to make it because our lungs weren't developed, because we were 2 months premature. In 61, we weighed 4 pounds, 2 ounces, 4 pounds, 6 ounces. It wasn't, you know, common.
Yeah. Wow. So
that's how I got that name.
I always love learning new stuff about you. Yeah. You know, just when I think I've figured you out, you let me know that I haven't.
Hey, let me tell you what. We can talk about my new schedule. 4 days on, 10 days off. 4 days on, 10 days off.
All right, Kevin, this is the stuff that you're putting down that we love picking up, which is the life stuff. So I want you to tell our listeners what you used to do and now what you do and how you do it. So I think you got to kind of lay it out. So you practice in Des Moines, Iowa. And so you have a practice there and you married an amazing woman, and she's where?
She's in Port Huron, Michigan, 54 miles northeast of Detroit. And for the last 10 years, I've been commuting back and forth. We've been married 7 years this month, but I've been coming back and forth to Michigan for 10 years because that's when we started dating. We met at Seattle Study Club. Well, they couldn't move to Iowa. The boys, they couldn't move to Iowa because their dad was living here. So she would come to Iowa. I would come back here. And so we've been doing that ever since. But during that time, I was working Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And Thursday, I'd hop a plane to go lecture somewhere on a Friday. And I wouldn't even get to Michigan until either Friday night late. And then I was leaving Sunday night. So I was only seeing them Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So, you know, after a few years, that doesn't go that great. Because number one, you're tired. Number two, you get just as much done working 3 days, 3.5 days a week as you do four. And 4 days a week is hard work.
Wait, go back to that. Go back to that. I don't understand. So you work less and you make more now? And Kevin, you do too. Like, how does that work? It makes no sense.
Listen, I listened to you a long time ago. I listen to people think, oh, you're crazy. Well, you know what? The people come in when you're there. They mm-hmm. schedule for production. You know, I'm much more efficient. And patients don't miss their appointments, because now if they miss an appointment, they don't get in for 8 weeks. Because we normally work 4 days on, 10 days off, or 8 days a month. Everybody's busy. You're packed. Is it easy work? It's not easy. I can't say it's easy. But knowing you have 10 days off, pretty darn nice. And I have an associate now that works 4 days a week. So he covers for me when I'm gone. And it's not easy, but he's well compensated.
Yeah. Now, I want to stick to this point. Kevin, you've done the same thing.
Yeah.
So you used to work a lot. Now you don't work as much. Mm-hmm. You still work hard. Don't get me wrong. Same scenario for you.
Yeah. I remember talking to Coach Christina when I was an ACT client, and she said, I want you to count up how many days you'd be working in 2019. I said, all right, 227. And she goes, okay, you're going to cut that to 180. It's like, you're going to cut 47 days out of my year and make that work. And I did. We made more money. We were more efficient, you know, and to have those extra days is just fantastic. So since then, it's been a challenge of how many days can I cut each year? And, you know, I think I'm down to like 155, if I had to guess now. But right now I'm picking up the slack from my other associate who had just had a baby. I'm working 4 days a week and I'm burnt out. It's crazy it is to say. It's just like I'm not nearly as happy or as energetic because I'm working that extra day a week. So I'm looking forward to the start of next year because I'll go down to 3 days a week. And when you can go to three and make more or less or the same, whatever it is, it's just your time is far more valuable than what you're giving up there. And then also I'm a better parent. I'm a better husband. I'm a better boss. I'm a better admin. I'm a better person on a phone call with you on a weekly basis, Kirk. If I, you know, my energy right now on our dialogues is far different than what it was a couple months ago when I was actually having the free time. So I can back what Bob says. And maybe people can hear Bob and be like, oh, he's a veteran in this whole industry and he can do that 3 days a week thing. But I'm not, and I'm doing it and doing quite well. So
I love it. Sweet. So you're doing 155. Bob, how many days a year do you work? And tell us about your new schedule.
My new schedule is 4 days on, 10 days off, 4 days on, 10 days off. So I'm about 8 days a month. I'm at 96 days.
Okay. Now, so wait, go back to that. So take me through like how that works in a typical week. And then you also speak. So
Yeah, I don't really speak that much anymore. I only have like two lectures next year in 2020. I listen to you, Kirk.
I've heard that before. That's temporary.
I know. You know what?
Everybody and then you miss people that. And you go, okay, you're a wuss like me. You can't say no.
No, I got a prescription from my physician, and on that prescription it says no. And he goes, how many times did you use that prescription last year? I go, zero.
Yeah. So you have a pad script like paper that says no, and you're supposed to pull it out.
Yeah, if I had my wallet on me, I could pull it out of my wallet and it just says no from the physician. No.
I love that. You've got to get that.
And it says no. So when anybody asks me, I said, no, I have this prescription for my doctor. It says no. And because you know what? I never say no. I never used to say no.
No.
I know. You don't either.
You don't. You were going to go like to the spa this afternoon and we're like, we want to, and you go, okay. Okay. Wait. I need to know how the great Bob Margis. I need to get my brain around your week. So do you practice on Monday? So you do the 4:10, like walk me through a typical week or month.
Normally I get home at around 9:30 on Sunday night from Detroit and I start at 7 and I get done at 5 and I take an hour for lunch. So I go 7 to 12 for 5 hours. And so then I take a lunch break from noon to 1 and then I go from 1 to 5 or 1 to 4, depends on what I have now. If it's not productive at 7 a.m., I don't go in. I have to have a crown prep or something productive for me to get up at 7.
Now, is it true? Wait, go back to that. Because is it true that you don't look at the schedule? Because you told me at one time, you're like, I never look at the schedule because I don't want it to ruin my Sunday.
I never look at the schedule. Ever. ever. Read my list. I am against. This is just my own thing. I don't like to know what's going on because I don't want it to ruin my day. But I know if they tell me, and when I'm on Sunday, I say, hey, what time do I start tomorrow? And she always will text me and she'll say, okay, you start at 7. So I know I have something productive. If I'm starting at 8, it doesn't bother me. because I know I don't have anything that I was going to be doing anyway, right?
Right. Now, so, Kevin, you know where I'm going with this.
If you look at my phone here, well, you probably can't see
Hold on, I can see it. Yeah, let's see it.
You can see it. What time do we start? 8 a.m.
8 a.m.
Dr. Delance is coming in tomorrow at 7:15. And so my assistant always says, you know, when are we coming in? Okay, there's another one, 8 a.m. So I know. Bobby said the veneers will be back, blah, blah, blah. So we start at 7:20 tomorrow. So, you know, I don't know, but I will tell you that my production per se has not really gone down, even though I went from like 12 days to 9 days to 8 days. Why? Because it's packed in. I mean, I may be double booked at times, but I feel like, man, if I can go 4 days hard knowing I have 10 days off, wow. Yeah. So you've always said, Kirk, is, which I think makes sense, and I never paid attention to it really, was figure out how many days you want to work. I don't care if you work, you know, 150
What you're
days.
Really saying is you didn't really pay attention to me.
No. No. But when you're young, I was working my first job, and I'm not kidding you. You're not going to believe it. It was 12 days on, 2 days off. We were open 7 days a week, me and one doctor. When I got out of school, it was Monday through Friday, 8 to 9, Saturday, 8 to 5, Sunday, noon to 5. So every 2 weeks I was off. Think about that.
You actually said yes to the Sunday thing?
I did. I was 26 years old, 25 years old. It was my first job. And I was working Sundays. We were in a camp. We were in Iowa City, where the, you know, University of Iowa is. So we were catering to some of the professors and stuff. So we were on 12 days on, 2 days off. And then I went to 5 days when I moved to Des Moines, and every other Saturday. And then I joined another associateship. He says, you know, 4 days. And to be honest, every day you take off. In fact, I got Lillis now going 3 days a week. He was 4 days. He's keeping Thursdays for heavy production days.
That's awesome. Now wait, yeah. Go. Oh, so give us an idea how you like your days. Do you do anything special like before noon, or you're just okay?
No, I don't do like heavy production. Like, okay, in the morning can only be heavy production. I seat stuff in the afternoon, because I normally, if I have a crown prep at 1 in the afternoon, I have a crown seat at 1 too. So I'll anesthetize the patient, and then I'll go in and put that crown seat. You know, what happens is if the crown doesn't fit, then I'm screwed, because then you're behind, you run behind. But because I still mount all my own cases, believe it or not, and I do trim my own dies still, even though I have a scanner, I do scan cases, but I'm still a lot of analog in my practice with impressioning. So it takes, I sometimes will be at work till like 6 or 6:30. And the other day, Nick, my associate, I was in there practicing, doing some composites. He goes, God, why are you still here? He was FaceTiming me. He says, you don't need to practice anymore. I said, yeah, I do. You need to keep on practicing, because when you're doing live demonstrations, you know, you got to be on top of it. I never quit practicing. I still, Marco's practice. We practice together, you know, because it's the only way you get good.
Kevin, you go. I know you have a lot of questions. Do you have any questions for Bob, for the great Marjorie?
No, I just am a sponge, man. That's that whole dinner, I was just absorbing what he was saying. I was like, got it. I really feel like we're gelling with many topics here.
Now, that's a pretty long day. You take your lunch. What do you eat for lunch? Yeah. I got to know.
I always have a Greek salad with chicken.
Same thing every time.
About the same thing every time. I eat at Luca, the best restaurant in Des Moines. Now, they're closed on Monday, so I usually go to Palmer's Deli. I mainly eat salads. Maybe a couple little pieces of a baguette. Try to eat as less carbs, least amount of carbs as possible. But I always usually have a salad for lunch. Breakfast, I don't eat a lot. I have a smoothie or something, or maybe a piece of Ezekiel bread with some almond butter. Not too much.
So you practice that. So you finish. Now your wife is at home. At her house. So what do you do on a Monday night or Tuesday night? Like, what do you do? I don't even, I've never even asked you. Maybe you're just texting Ritter the whole time.
I get body work.
What does that mean?
Like Tom Brady, I do Chinese reflexology, and I go there. It's called Kung Fu massage. Okay. And they literally beat the hell out of you. I mean, they got your arm, but it's like massage, but you don't take your clothes off. They put a towel over you and they literally give you body work. I do not think it's a luxury.
Yeah.
I think it's a necessity because our body it might be my back sometimes will hurt or my neck, no matter how straight you set up, you know, it still is not good. And I'll go to waterfront and have a piece of fish. And I FaceTime my wife like 4 or 5 times a day.
Yeah.
And yeah, so then I get up, then I go home and I get up and do it the same thing. I don't think I wear clothes like this during the week at all. I put my scrubs on in the morning. I come home, I go to bed or I'll work out. Then I come back, boom, boom, boom. And that's what it's like.
So the reflexology thing, I think Bob Gottlieb told me about that. Like it's an hour.
Yeah.
Is it an hour?
Well, that's the stuff I was doing. And I don't do this as much was called Rolfing. Rolfing was an hour to an hour and a half where it's structural integration with the fascia. And you talk about what Tom Brady does. He gets that fascia, stretching the fascia. And when I go to the Chinese guy, they're literally using their elbows or their knees and they're, you know, it's like massage, but not oil and, you know, anything like that. And they move your back. It just feels like, It gets you so much better to go back to work. And it's like $60 for an hour. I mean, we charge $50 for an exam. I mean, a lot of people think, oh my God, a massage is $60. So I do 2 or 3 of those a week, every week.
All right. And then, you know, airway and sleep is a big question. So the best dentist in the world, which is what I call you. So what, how many hours of sleep do you get per night?
I try to get a minimum of 7. I try to get 7. But my problem is this, honestly, I don't sleep well. I go to bed fast, but I wake up. And then I lay in bed and I'm thinking about stuff. And I really have not, I mean, I have nothing to worry about. The only thing I need to worry about is maintaining my health. You know, I mean, I don't need money. I just want to maintain my health. I want to have a happy family. It's about it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to keep going on this because I love learning about you. Even though you're one of my favorite people, like every time I see you, I want to grab you and put you in a headlock. And then my wife is always like, you kiss too many men. I'm like, I freaking love these guys, you know? So you get 7 hours of sleep. Now, you and I have adamantly disagreed on this one. You don't do a huddle, or do you now? Or you're considering one?
If you call my office randomly, if you just pick up the phone and call my office, say, how many staff meeting or morning huddles have I had? And what's my production goal? They would laugh in your face. If you call Shelly right now unannounced and say, hey, Dr. Margis, put it on speakerphone. Say, if I call her right now, I think I should do it.
No, I got one better. She's in the green room. I'm going to bring her in a second. Yeah. Bob, this is your life. I have a whole bunch of things I'm going to ask you about.
Hey, wait.
Are you really calling her?
Hold on.
This is funny.
I love this.
So does she usually? Okay.
No, Jana, this is Dr. Margis.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I have just one question for you. When's our next staff meeting?
That could probably be after you retire.
One other thing. What's our production goal for the month?
Let's see. We don't have one.
Have we ever had one?
No, never.
Would you say we do on 8 days a month about 200,000 a month?
At least.
Okay, thank you. Enough said.
Okay, that's a first. No one's ever done that. So, okay, wait, back up. Now, I think it's also important. Go ahead.
Hold on, Jim. 1 second. What's that? Kirk, do you have a question for her?
We're going to do a completely separate episode with her because I have a bunch of questions for her. And they'll start with your favorite story. Wait, tell her to give us your favorite story. Like, if I was to roast Bob Margis, what would be your favorite story we would tell about him or working for him?
Would it have to be that Jim story?
It would be Jim. And, yeah, he'd come in and he needed some crowns. He needed work, and he didn't do it. And so then he came back, I don't know, a couple years later, and things had broken up. And so Dr. Margis looked at him and gave him the price and said, this is what you're going to need now. And the guy kind of looked at him. I mean, he was... the guy was like, oh my God, that's like way too much money. And Dr. Margis turned and looked at him and said, well, then how do you expect me to put gas in my Bentley?
Yes, the guy died about 4 months later. So,
supposed. Oh my god!
I'm sure if I thought long enough, I could come up with a whole handful. Let me tell you.
Oh my gosh! All right, we're gonna do a separate episode. Yeah, I want your favorite stories.
You can take those people off hold now. Thank you.
Yeah.
You are funny.
Okay.
That is so awesome. Okay. Right. Now I think it's also important to mention that the greatest dentist of all time also accepts Delta Dental. You know, so you're a Delta provider. How does that work in your practice? Like how do you figure that puzzle out?
That's a great question because people always say, well, you know, and Ritter's trying to get me to quit Delta. But I will tell you this, 67% of my patients have Delta Dental. I mean, it's a big number. And I would say I write off 12 to 15% a year of Delta Dental, of my total gross production. So let's say you do $2 million, you're going to write off almost $300,000 of non-collectible from Delta Dental. But, you know, I feel like if I quit, because 94 or 95% of all the Iowa dentists accept Delta, believe it or not, that's a high number, 95%. And I feel like, okay, if I'm getting paid now, when I was in San Antonio lecturing, they were getting $675 for a crown reimbursement from Delta. There's no way I could be a member of Delta accepting $675. Now, I'm getting around $900 to $950 for a crown, and I'm also getting a buildup fee. So think about that. If my buildup is $250 and my crown's $950, that's $1,200. My crowns are about $125. It takes me an hour and 5 minutes to insert. So all of a sudden, I'm charging $1,000 an hour or $1,200 an hour, and I'm getting paid $1,000 or $1,100. I mean, I can live with that. That's the only way you can justify it. Now, where am I losing? I lose on posterior composites because it takes you a half hour to do it, and you're getting $200 and some dollars. I mean, I try to make my associate do those. I honestly do. I say, when I'm in my office and I'm only here 8 days a month, I've got to be profitable. And I told Nick, I said, Nick, I love you, but I just can't be doing all these posterior composites and little fillings or buckle class fives or this and that. I said, either you're going to do them or I'm going to hire another associate to do my operative stuff like that. I'm going to do the anterior composites, you know, diastema closures, direct composite veneer, stuff like that. But I don't want to do all the class threes and posterior composites. So most of my production is, you know, high production items. Like the most profitable thing, 100% in my office, is a posterior single tooth implant. Why? Because it only takes you 5 minutes, take the healing cap off, make an impression or scan it and send them home.
Mm-hmm. You know? Now, I got to ask Kevin. So Kevin, you're a younger dentist. You're 35 right now? Or you 36?
34.
34. Okay. I'm putting years on you when I shouldn't. So you're 34. Talk to us how that relates to the younger generation of dentists. And is your practice similar? You still participate or don't participate?
We have Blue Cross Blue Shield, and then we do Delta. I'm Premier. The other two associates are not.
Okay. Tell me what you heard and how it applies to you when he was describing that.
I agree. I don't feel like I'm at a point where I really need to cut because we're doing well enough. And at the same point, I feel like there have been a lot of people we've actually acquired patient wise because dentists on the street have cut off everything. And to me, people will walk, and I'm not that I'm fearful of it, but like, I feel like my write-offs are not enough to justify making such a drastic change of that. So I don't know. There's so much about talking to Bob that I align with him in so many different capacities, but I'm also at the point now where I'm like, I don't want to do these posterior composites, you know, because they do take up a lot of time, you know? So my conundrum is the fact that patients want to see me.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to say, you need this work, but I'm not going to do it, you know? So we're working on that and those type of systems. But at the same point, Bob, you also talk about in the conference or the course, you do have a different way of billing anterior composites. So you're not getting hit so hard, right? Can you talk about that?
Yeah. You know what? What you said is, even though the patients, they want to see me. And sometimes they get on my schedule. How did this patient get on my schedule? They said, they only want to see you. So I had a patient that I was checking in my own operatory. And I said, you know, we can schedule you with Nick. She goes, no. Before I can even get it out, no. I want you to do it. Well, that's the case, and I'll do it. But I know that I'm not going to be productive. Because the 8 days that I'm there, I mean, I really want to be productive. So I can't be productive doing posterior composites. But if I'm doing an anterior multi-layered restoration, I had met with my Delta Dental of Iowa and you know, talked to them about, you know, if I'm using multi-layers and I'm using surface texture and tints and opaquers, I can't charge $250 for a class four composite. I need the patient to pay the difference. So I'm not asking Delta Dental to pay more money. I would use a D2999 code, unspecified procedure by report, of which then Delta doesn't allow it. But now, that's Delta Dental of Iowa. That doesn't mean that all Deltas are going to accept the D2999 fee and allow you to charge more. You know, I don't abuse it. If I actually do that, then I use the D299. Or let's say you have an expensive laboratory. Bobby Williams, $450. I can't use $450 lab when I'm doing a $1,000 crown. You can't make any money doing that. That's why if a patient's really picky and they're doing a single anterior crown, I've got to add a surcharge to their bill. And, you know, you have to have it with the patient, letting them know that, hey, are you willing to pay the extra money? Otherwise, it's not, you know, you can't not write it off, you know.
And you've even cleared this with your Delta rep, like as far as how it can be done and all that kind of stuff, right?
Well, yeah, I met with Delta personally and said, hey, you know, this is what, you know, I'm going to be sending in. And it does get through. Sometimes they reject it. And then I have to call them and say, hey, this patient agreed to pay the difference in this particular case. Now, if you were abusing in every single case at a D2999, they're gonna flag that and say, this guy's just trying to buck the system, you know. But I think that, and a lot of times with aesthetics, like a diastema closure, they say, well, you send it into insurance. I send it into insurance, and I say in the insurance form to Delta, this is a cosmetic procedure. This is a diastema closure. So it gets denied. I don't want them to accept it. Because let's say I charge $800 for a diastema closure and they only pay $200 for a three surface composite, I'd have to write that amount off. So I don't want them to accept it. So I always write on the insurance form, this is a aesthetic procedure. Even though I pre-auth it, because the patient wants you to, I want them to get the denial saying, hey, this is cosmetic, they're not paying for it.
Very cool. Yeah. Kevin, have you adopted that in your office yet? Or you're going to?
Yeah, well, we started doing these changes, which, I mean, I sit there and listen to him all the time. And I think one of my strengths is I do take action. You know, I think that's a big thing that a lot of people just don't do is you hear these things and no one really takes action because we're all a bunch of type A people. But yet at the same point, to me, it's just like you need to act, and that's the only way to learn and implement. And then it's cool to go back to Bob and say, hey, look what I'm doing. Like, this is sweet. I'm really enjoying this now. And these are things I'm trying to get better at. So props to that.
I would say the other thing, when I say, do I have a share production goal with myself? No, but I know in my head that it takes me $100,000 or $120,000 to pay the bills or whatever it is. I kind of know what I have to do. I don't want you to think that I don't have a goal. But I just think it's difficult. I think it's really difficult to say, okay, we need to do $200,000 this month or, you know, to get a bonus or this, that. Because then sometimes people feel pressured to talk patients into having things to hit their goal. And for me, I look at Kevin and I'll say, Kevin, in order for me to do this case, this is what the fee is. I'm not here to biopsy your wallet. I'm here to tell you that if you want to have this done. And then sometimes the people will say, well, I'm 70 years old. You know, I don't know how long I'm going to live. I said, listen, I'm not here to tell you how to spend your money. I said, but I just had a patient, this is no lie, 95 years old, 95, had six lower implants done, 95. And I said, he doesn't know how long he's going to live. I'm just here as an educator.
Okay, so I love this stuff. Now, you might be listening to this going, what the heck? Where the heck is this episode going? Here's where it's going. You have to spend time with the people that you love and respect because by osmosis, you pick up all these things that are so valuable. Aren't you? Don't you agree, Kevin? Like, yeah, Bob no, gives I, me these I little things.
Just so many things I picked up from that, from the dialogue with Bob that I don't even, ultimately, the biggest theme for Bob Marge is to build a practice. You just said, just treat people well. And everything else will happen after that. You know, like you take care of people and you do the right thing by them. People will flock to you. They will want the work and they will come to you in a heartbeat based on, I trust this person. And that's really the biggest theme I took away was, and I resonate with that because I do the same thing. And ultimately, like, does it feel good in your gut to do what you're doing? Yes or no, then do it. You know, and also like the confidence, Bob, that you have to tell somebody this is what it's going to be. This is my time. This is what I stand by. You're not going to make or break my practice if you say yes or no to me. I could care less if you say no. I actually prefer it because it frees up my ability to bring in somebody else.
And wait, because I know what you're going to do, Bob. Like I have 35 or probably 40 Bob Marges stories that take 10 minutes to tell. Mm-hmm. And I tell the referee story constantly. And people like, I need you to give us a little. So what Kevin just said, just build on that. Like teach dentists that are listening, right? How have you sold so much dentistry, but you're not selling it?
Yeah, let me tell you, when I was younger, oh my God, I never wanted to quote fees. I was too scared of them to say no. Why? Because we have egos and we're like, oh, they're not going to accept that anyway. That guy works for the school. They're not going to accept the fee. So you don't even not want to tell me, you don't even bring it up, you know? So for me, like this has been a phrase that I use that I'm just a referee. I'm just a ref. I call it as I see it. It's your mouth, your time, and your money. You're not going to die by losing this tooth normally. I mean, people come in, they say, do I have to have this replaced? You know, do I need an implant? Do you miss the tooth? Kind of. I said, well, you can have an implant. I said, if you don't miss the tooth, the only thing that's going to happen is teeth can move a little bit, teeth can super erupt, but it might take 10 years to do that. But you don't have to have anything. And most of the time, as I'm quoting a fee, I say, this is what you need. It's your mouth, your time, your money. I'm usually by then walking out of the operatory. Like, you know, let my assistant tell him if you want to schedule it, schedule it. You know, and today, I know people always think that this stuff is pre-planned or you have, you know, we have this stage. My front staff calls me and says, this patient called and said that you told the parents that he could come in on Thanksgiving week and have his teeth cleaned and this and that. I said, yeah, he could. I'm not going to be there, but he can come in. He called and says, Dr. Marges said that he would do my 8 upper and 8 lower veneers, and he would do it the week of Thanksgiving, and then he would see them before Christmas, on Christmas break. I never said that. And so I said, call him back and tell him that I'm not available Thanksgiving. I'm not available Christmas. I'm happy to do it. It's $1,750 a tooth, and he can come in. I'll open up December 9th. That wasn't going to work, but I'll open that day up for him, and I'll see him in January. And literally called me up and says, hey, he's coming in on December 9th, and I told him it was $28,000. Okay, here's what it says. You might be able to see it. Let me get it here. Hold on. Troy booked for full day on December 9th. Knows the cost. Janet called Bobby Williams to okay the seat appointment on 1-6. He only lives 30 minutes from Bobby. $28,000 worth adding that day. Do you see that?
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Now, Now, I want you to talk about the why. So I texted you a photo one day, and I think it was Bob Marley who said, when you stop wanting things, that's when you start getting more blessings or something like that. Like what, once you stop pushing, that's when it starts to happen. Is that true in dentistry for both of you?
You know what? I'll go first and let Kevin go. It is 100% true. I mean, when you're desperate, people feel when you're desperate, like, mm-hmm. You know, I get patients for second opinions that come in and they say, this dentist said I needed 4 crowns. And I look, I say, Well, the amalgams are medium size. Are they cause you any pain, hurt pain on bite? And I said, if they're not bothering you, there's no decay. Yes, they probably could use crowns, but there's always a chance that I put a crown on that tooth and you're going to be mad at me for paying $1,000 you can't bite on it. And for me, when a new patient, this is the most difficult thing for me, when a new patient comes in that has been going to their dentist who retired, and they come in and they've got four areas of decay. Mm-hmm. And I feel horrible. I say, listen, Kirk, your dentist did a good job of saving your teeth by putting these large amalgams, but now you got decay around the amalgams. You're going to need four crowns. That may be overwhelming to you, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a copy of your x-rays. I'm not charging you for my examination. I want you to go get another opinion from any other dentist you want, because this can be overwhelming. You don't know me. This is your first appointment. You may think that I'm trying to sell you something. Feel free to have another opinion. What do you think about this, Kevin, when you're saying don't try to sell or don't push patients?
Yeah, I mean, they're not going to go somewhere because you just gave them the full capacity to go somewhere. And you say, I believe in what I'm doing because I'm treating you well. That's what it always comes back to, is just take care of people. And I don't understand why we're over-treating and things like that, because that's an easy one to say, listen, I treat everyone like my brother, my sister, my mother, my wife. This is what I would do for them. And at the same point, you know, if this is what they have, I stand by that. And this is what they need. So to me, it's just, it's easy. You know, I don't have to feel like I'm out of place or I'm pushing something that they don't need, because this is what I believe in and this is how I operate. And ultimately, yeah, I don't need them to say yes. And nobody needs anyone to say yes, you know, because like you said, that energy is palpable when you are desperate to have that work done. And ultimately, you know, that comes across in the complete wrong way. So, and I think also young dentists, myself included, get in that rut of over-speaking in those examinations when giving a treatment plan, because you want to describe every nuance of everything and get them all, but then it just confuses them like crazy. And then they feel like, oh, I don't feel like this person's all that confident in what they're doing. When I just started saying one word sentences or just simple, this is what you need, the treatment acceptance went through the roof after that, because it was just like, yeah.
Yeah. I love that. But speak to that too. So Kevin, that was a big turning point for you. Bob, what was a big turning point for you?
When patients would come in and hygiene, and let's say I saw a tooth sleuth on the table and I knew they had maybe a tooth that was bothering them when they were biting on it. And I would say to the patient, it appears that you may have a cracked tooth. And this is what changed for me. I put the tooth sleuth on and they go, oh yeah, that hurts. I said, well, my first suggestion would be to put a crown on. Hopefully putting a crown on is going to save the tooth from you having to have a root canal or losing the tooth because the tooth is split. I don't know if it's going to work, but my first suggestion is put a crown on. And they look at me and they go, oh, it doesn't really hurt that much. My answer to them is this: it's your tooth, your mouth, and your money. If it doesn't hurt you, the worst thing that can happen is a tooth can break. And as it's going out the operator, I'm leaving there, I say, hey, if it hurts, just let me know. Hopefully I'll be in town. You know, and so it's like, you know, listen, if they don't want to have it done, it must not hurt them that bad. But, you know, do you get that, Kevin, where they say, oh, it doesn't hurt only if I hit it with the taco chip?
Yeah. And yeah. I said, well, don't eat tacos. I don't know what to tell you, because I'll be seeing you in a couple of weeks, I guess, if you're going to hit something and it's going to break. But I'll be here. You know, we'll see what you need to do, you know, but ultimately it's the patient's right to make their decisions. And I'm also just big on educating, you know, I can tell them what's going on within their mouth, excuse me, and let them make the decisions that they feel is right for them based on whatever circumstances of life they're in. And when you can give them all the information, I don't shy away from money or anything like that. I tell them, this is what it's going to be. This is how long it's going to take. And these are the expectations I have for this procedure. It's your call. Yes or no.
The other thing, is I never used to talk fees at all. But think about the patient that comes in that has a full mouth blown out with cavities, this and that. And I used to say, okay, let's take a full mouth series. Let's get some models. We'll get some records. Let's mount the case up. I'll have you back and do a consultation. But that's what they would want you to do. I don't do that. I look at the mouth and I say, you know, as I look at your mouth, I see the amount of destruction. you know, this is going to be an investment of about $40,000. And if they balk at, oh my God, $40,000, I can't afford that. Why as a dentist do you want to waste your time when you have other patients when they're not going to be able to afford to have it done anyway? So I get the money out of it. I say it's approximately for, I don't know 100% what it's going to cost, but Shelly or Jana will give you a thorough estimate before you leave or within the next few days. And then you decide, if they say 40,000, then I could say this. Well, could you do maybe the upper arch, or we could do caries removal and do the anterior teeth. And then the next year we could do this. Can you stage it? If they say, how much? Well, 20,000 a year. Oh, I can't do that. Well, could you do 10,000 a year for 40, for 4 years? No, I can't help you.
Yeah,
I know. What's that? You're talking real big right now. You're the nicest human being that's ever lived. You would never like make me feel bad saying that. Although I'd be a little nervous being one of your patients.
I would say that's what I say. I say, you know, I said it comes down to this with implants. It takes bone and money. We can grow bone. We can't grow money. That's another one, Kirk.
Oh my gosh, yeah. We're gonna have hours of this. Like, I just love it. So, Kevin, give. You know, I know I don't get you guys all night because I'd probably ask like 30 more questions. Anything on your mind? And I also want you to talk what you know, you and I share a lot back and forth. Having other people in your life that you can just go, oh my gosh. And I remember you calling me right after you had dinner with Bobby, like, it was so fun. I felt like we were brothers, but like he was a little bit older. I just felt like we had can you just speak to that and the importance of having and you had this, Bob, and I think his name was Paul.
Yeah,
like Paul, somebody you could go to who got you, who understood you and said, dude, you're going to be fine. You know, like, can you talk to that, Kevin?
Ultimately, I mean, I look at anybody who has done anything in any profession. They're probably really very driven. They've made a lot of mistakes. They've learned from it, and they have someone that's behind them, supporting them entirely. And that's the value of a mentor, is that one, they teach the wisdom that you need to be teaching. They give you the confidence to take action so you can experience and fail and learn from those moments, and then give you the support when you come back and say, this didn't really happen the way I thought it would. But, and they'd be like, I've been there a million times. You're good. You know, this is what it needs to be. And that's the importance of surrounding yourself with people and in a tight-knit tribe or community that you can really go to and feel comfortable saying, you know, being vulnerable and being open and trying to learn. And the more vulnerable I've ever been, the more I attract people like mentors that can surround myself and I can learn and grow from that. And that's what I've, you know, looking at both of you today, you know, this is where I'm at. And I really enjoy the sense of comfort knowing that when you have people in your corner, ooh, the sky's the limit. And that's in any different profession ever. You know, I don't think there's any profession that's out there that someone's been naturally gifted to do something like that.
Hey, I'm going to add to that, because having a mentor changes your life. Mm-hmm. It changes not only from a professional but from a financial standpoint. And Polydorn, I was 30 years old when I, you know, really started listening to him, and he took me and he says, why do you act like you have a lot of money? Because you have a Rolex and a used Mercedes. And he goes, people, and I look at you, Kevin, and I put you in the same category. People don't expect you to have any money at 34. They don't. But if you're at 50 and you don't have anything, people will laugh at you. And then you're scrambling to really get something done. So having a mentor is amazing. So when I first started lecturing, I remember one of my first lectures, it was carousels, and it was at the dog racing track in Dubuque, Iowa. And Polydorn was driving with me over there to go to the Dubuque District Dental Society. And we were planning out the whole day, what you're going to do, the cases. So I go from like 8 to noon, and he goes, oh my God. He goes, it's so incredible. He's talking under his breath at lunch. I'm so proud. This is so great. 1 to 3, we get a break at 3. He goes, oh man. He goes, this is amazing. Finish strong. Well, I still had an hour and a half to go. With about an hour, I had about 15 minutes worth of stuff to talk about. And all the way home, I'm driving. He's looking at me, he goes, man, you suck. You died
You. Not, said, you're okay. It'll be better next time. You sucked.
He goes, you died. He goes, you are not doing an all-day lecture again until you have more information. He goes, no, you are not taking any more, you know, 7-8 hour. Like, you don't have enough material. He goes, you died. You know, man, was I hurt? Absolutely. But you know what? It was the truth. And every time he's telling me something, you know how somebody tells you something and then you use it as your own, you're saying it back to him like, hey, dude, I told you that. Every time I'd say something to him that he already told me, he'd look up in the corners like the speakers, like listening to this stuff going, shit, I told you that before.
I've never heard that story. You've never told me that one.
I never told you that one, but I always think of Paul when I think about having a mentor and somebody who, you know, he got me going because he'd say, man, that works really good. You ought to document it. Nobody's talking about veneers or composites.
Kevin, you know what's never been said in the last 20 years? I just took a Bob Marges course and it sucked. It's never been said.
Exactly.
So obviously his words, they motivated you, you know.
They did. Yeah. They really did. And you know, that's the important thing about fine. Listen, I embrace people who want to learn. And Paul always used to say to me, I have my own teaching center in Des Moines and in Iowa. And if I had 18 doctors come in to take a hands-on course, I would say 8 or 9 of them were from Des Moines. And he was always proud of the fact that here you are, a competitor, but the people are coming to learn from you. He goes, never alienate any dentist. Mm-hmm. Any dentist who wants to learn, whether they practice next door to you. And I said this before. He said, you think you're so good. Come here. He takes me downstairs to the filing cabinet. See all these patients here, these dead files here? He goes, you think all these patients are dead? Hell no, they're not dead. They left you because of blah, blah, blah. You're the best. It's not a competition amongst dentists. It's a competition amongst yourself, just trying to do the best. And be happy for everybody. Be happy if they're successful.
That's wisdom you can share right now. I know. That's important.
Yeah. Well, I got to keep my promises to you guys because I was going to keep you for an hour. But make sure you check these guys out. And I would just say this. You gotta watch these guys. So, Kevin, if I'm listening, and then Bob, if I'm listening as a young dentist, how do I find out more about you guys? How do I follow you? Where do you guys practice? What do you do? How do I find out more about you?
I mean, people can email me. That's probably the best way to get in touch with me. Just kevingroth@gmail.com. I'm very responsive with all that and I'm happy. I really truly enjoy when people reach out because it means that maybe something clicked with somebody. I'm just sharing my experiences and I don't know enough, but I know something. So at least I can help and go along the way. But Bob, share about your composite course because that thing has been, it's not just anterior composites too. It's isolation. It's posterior composite technique. It's just different materials. I mean, I learned about the Optrigate having a little ruler in the front. I had no idea about the ruler until I listened to that thing. And I was like, of course. So there's little pearls you pick up along the way. So definitely talk about that, Bob.
Yeah, let me tell you, I've been fortunate and teaming up with Marcos Vargas. I mean, we're getting paid to do this, but it doesn't feel like we're getting paid because we want to just show you the stuff that we're doing. And we learned this on this platform from Steve Phelan, who's an incredible dentist who's doing occlusion by design or occlusion online. And so he came to me and said, hey, you want to start this composite mastery online course? I said, yeah. I said, but I just don't feel like I have enough material. I said, I'm going to bring Marcos Vargas in and we'll do it together. So I called Marcos and said, Marcos, this could be your legacy. You're so phenomenal. You're humble. Let's put all the stuff on, you know, give everything that we've done over the last 35 years and let people see it. And it's been very successful. So people can sign up for it and they watch. It's a continuum. It's like 8 modules. And then once a month we do webinars. But I'm not here to promote that course. But I'm happy that, you know, that you've liked it. I'm happy that you liked it. I mean, it's been great for me from a standpoint of I don't have to be on the road. Mm-hmm. As I said, I've always said yes. And, you know, I always say, oh, I'm not going to lecture. I'm not kidding you. I have 2 lectures next year, Kirk. That's it. 2.
All right. So we're going to do we're going to actually schedule another one of these in the spring lecture season. And you're going to bring your script pad. Actually, you're going to write a script that say no. This is actually a script from Dr. Dr. Bob Marges' office says no.
I like that. You know what we ought to do? We ought to get my assistants and hygienists on there and ask them any questions you want.
I would love that.
I'm not kidding. Ask my front desk and be as candid as, because people BS all the time.
My first question is, has he ever thrown an instrument?
But I haven't thrown anything. I've put it on the, I've gone like this and put it on the, on the, on the, on the, on the tray. I've never thrown an instrument in, but I put it on the tray, or, you know, I'm pretty good, but sometimes you just get frustrated, you know, like sometimes if your mirror isn't cleaned off or something, I throw the mirror and I grab another one, you know, on the,
We call that passive aggressive in most settings, but
yeah, that's it. And you, hey, Kirk, as a practice management consultant, I think that having these conversations not only makes you better, because you know what? I listen to all these practice management consultants, and some of the stuff that they say would be okay if they were selling widgets. When you're selling healthcare, it's a lot different, you know, because it's a lot harder to put a number on it. And I think you've done a really good job of, you know, coaching your clients on how to be much more efficient, but enjoy their life, have more time off. You undersell yourself at ACT-DEL. I mean, I know a lot of your clients and stuff, and, you know, they're happy.
It's very kind of you. I love and appreciate both of you, but this is a calling for us, for me, and time is the new rich, man. I don't care what people make. I love that you're working 155 days a year. And Bob, you didn't even give us a number, so I'm guessing it's like 107 per year or something like
about 96 to 107. I'll add a day or two here if it's a big profitable day, but I'm not adding it for a posterior composite.
Right. So the message is, as a dentist, you don't have to work your life away. You can enjoy your life, you know?
And as you say, because I'm 60 now, God darn, time goes by so fast. It goes by so fast. And I'm like, man, I want more time than money. And one other thing, I have a cash balance plan. So Nick, my associate, he got $17,000 in his cash balance plan this year that I put away for him. I said, you know what? Nobody put crap away for me when I was 27, 28 years, and I'm doing it. I said, you need to save your money. I said, take that $17,000 times 10% a year return over the next 35 years. It's over $1 million. I'm giving you $1 million if you don't touch that, and you invest it in the S&P 500 or the Vanguard Total Stock Market Fund. And I'm going to do that next year. I mean, people wait till they're 50 or they're counting on their practices to fund their retirement. Too late, man. Too late.
Start early. Start early. Hang around with great people. So we're going to do another one next week. No, we'll find another time. But I appreciate you guys. So thank you guys for being on. Make sure you check out both of these guys and these two guys, two of my heroes in dentistry. So you'll see that the second you get around them. And hopefully all of us can get on Bob Marges' daily text chain someday. That's when you know you've made it, when he's texting you more than once a day. You know, they go, hey, man, how are you? Just checking in. So, and thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Keep watching, keep listening to the Best Practice Show. We'll see you guys next time. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.